Welcome back to the Dog Gone Wrong podcast, where myself and others share their mistakes and help you lift the guilt burden. I'm your host, Sarah Roper, the multi-dog maven.
Hello, hello. Happy New Year. 26, eh? And I am managing to deliver on time. I am recording this little bit literally the day before this goes live, and I managed to get a familiar voice in for the middle bit of this podcast, which you will hear very soon. However, as always, I'm going to give you a bit of an update. Things have been a bit of a blur these last few weeks. I broke up from the main job on the 18th of December, and then the 19th of December, we got keys for the new house. Yay! And I can't believe it actually came together all in time. I mean, from having an offer accepted to receiving the keys and only 9.5 weeks between, I think we did well. We did really well. And that meant that we could use the Christmas break to gradually move over. I am currently recording from the old house, but still kind of between the two, but mainly in the other house nowadays, and will only be coming and going for, I don't know, not much longer from the old house. But I wanted to discuss with you a bit more about what I've been doing with the dogs during this time. Because, I mean, one, you know, I'm sure you've listened to other episodes before. Mizzle is a sensitive being, and changes and things like that are going to affect her more than, say, the other dogs. And I mean, Moss, he's getting older now, you know, he's 14 and a half. And he's moved quite a few times with me, as has Ripple. But as he's getting older, I have to consider this, that adjusting is going to be harder the older that he gets. And yeah, and Ada has never moved with us, really. So, well, she's moved homes, I suppose, in the very early days because she was only being fostered by us. But really, she's not moved house, as in experienced that process of moving a household. One of the things that I've been very conscious of is introducing the dogs slowly to the new house, keeping their stress levels as low as possible. But before the dogs even went to the house, I did a little video of this on socials where I got a spray can of basically the cheaper version of a product called Indirex. That's the main one. I think I just got the Vet UK version of it. But basically you spray all the soft furnishings with this particular spray, and it kills flea eggs and dust mites and all of that kind of stuff. Now, why did I do that? Especially as I am one of these people that is quite anti chemicals unless they're needed. I've been, in inverted commas or however you want to put it, bitten by this one before, and I wanted to prevent this happening again. So while this house that we're moving to has been empty for a long period of time, I don't know if there have been any pets in the premises before, if any have visited during the time that it's been empty, and maybe left a flea egg or two behind. Now, flea eggs can live dormant in soft furnishings for up to 6 months, and Indirex will kill all of this. So this means that I'm not moving into, you know, an infestation, essentially. So I went through and sprayed all the carpets and any kind of soft furnishings that were left. So I'm preventing that from happening. No, I don't like using chemicals, but I'd rather do that and avoid, you know, it creating a problem with the dogs and then me having to use chemicals directly on them than, you know, I'd rather just do it that way. So that was one of the things. And a few people who've seen socials who I've seen over the last couple of weeks have gone, oh my God, that's such a good idea. I never thought of that. So I thought I'd share that with you because I know that, you know, not all of you will watch my socials. And even if you do, you may have missed it because that's how the algorithm works. So that's my kind of top tip pre-moving in. And make sure that you've packed. When you do pack, make sure you keep the dog stuff separately. Try not to take all their stuff dead clean, like their beds, their blankets, things like that. Obviously, you don't want to take them absolutely stinking, but they should smell familiar to the dogs, as in they should smell to them like the old home. So it's something familiar when they do move in. So pack everything. What I did was I did the Indirex and then put down a couple of beds, not all of their beds because, you know, we're still between the two, and a water bowl, obviously, and double checked the garden. I checked it when we viewed it, but is it secure? Is it still secure? Because things change. Is it a secure garden? Sounds like basics, but in the rush of moving, sometimes these things can get missed. And is there anything in that garden that is potentially harmful to the dogs, plants-wise? Obviously, you know, when I was viewing the property, I wasn't thinking about plants. I was thinking about, can we live here? Is this safe for the dogs? And yes, the dogs were high on that list, but not from a plant perspective. So I went around the garden and checked it again. And is there anything, you know, previous people moving in and out have, you know, screws, nails, things like that, have they been left in the garden that you can see? Obviously, sometimes you're not going to be able to see things. And it was quite overgrown, the garden. We've took it back quite a bit now. But from what I could see, there was nothing immediately apparent that could be harmful, and it was still secure. So I briefly just took them without us moving any of the other things in. The first things to go in were dog things, I suppose, and took them in, let them have a sniff around. So there's no other people coming and going. There's no stress. It's just another environment that they're exploring. And that's the way to look at it initially, I'd say. And then let them have a sniff, spend some time in there with them, and then gave them some chews. So again, just to help them decompress, help them feel comfortable in that environment and make it feel a little bit normal, if it could feel normal. But yeah. And then they went back in the vehicle and we went back to the old house. And I've been very, very purposefully leaving them at the old house as we've been loading up and moving stuff to the new house. We've had family members come and help. We've had visitors, friends come and help. And all of that can add to the dog's stress if they're in a new environment and then there are people that they may or may not have met before, but they're in an unfamiliar environment. So I've left them very much as I can, at the old house while I'm getting all of that stuff done. Now, I understand for a lot of people, they'll get all the move done in a day. And if you are doing in a day or over a couple of days with movers and things like that, if you can get a friend to have the dogs in their home, you know, especially if it's somewhere that's familiar to your dogs, to keep them out of the way with all the hustle and bustle. Because the other thing is, especially if you've got, say, movers, professional removal people coming and going, although I'm sure they are used to dogs, you don't know. And if a gate gets left open because they're coming and going with boxes and things like that, you don't want that additional stress of worrying about other people that your dog's going to get out. So if you can, remove them from the situation to somewhere else familiar where possible. But we've obviously been doing this quite gradual, and I've been taking the dogs, you know, brief periods, but when we're not expecting people turning up to give quotes or, you know, other visitors and things like that, I've kept them as calm and as quiet as possible. Now, we saw the new year in the new home with the dogs the first night of staying there, which was lovely. However, bad planning in some ways, because obviously then the first night that they are staying there, they are then experiencing fireworks, which they're not really that bothered about, but still it's an additional thing and maybe don't do that. But that's what we did. And we had a couple of barks, but it was just like, there's banging, I'm going to bark and tell you about it, Mum. So, you know, putting the blinds down and music on quite loud, so it drowns out the bangs, basically, and spending time with them, and all good. So since we've been staying there, they have a new routine. So if you are planning on moving at any point and you want to change the rules with your dog, whether that's the dogs are only allowed in certain rooms or the dogs are going to be allowed in rooms that they wouldn't have been at the old house, or in our case, Ada's never been allowed on the sofa. That's been fine. But we've had discussions and the Daxes are now no longer allowed on the sofa, and the Daxes have always been allowed on furniture. So I said, well, this would be the easiest time would be when we move, because it's a totally new environment for the dogs. They're different sofas as well, which makes it easier. So the more differences, the better, to make them accept the new rules quicker than if it was the same house, the same sofa and all of that. And then that's harder because it's like a set routine and they just don't think about it and just jump. So I think we've spent 5 nights there now. And I think probably each evening we might have one or two of the Daxies try and jump up on the sofa, but then we just tell them off, they get off, and that's it. So, and I expected them to be a lot worse, if I'm really honest, but they're accepting it really nicely. What we did do, while they have got their old beds, or some of their old beds at the house, is we bought them new beds for the lounge, or the, you know, the front room, I call it. I always call a lounge front room, whether it's a front room, front of the house or not. And they got new beds, so they are nice, comfy ones. Like, one's a memory foam bed, you know, luxury kind of beds that they will only be with when we are in that room. They don't get free access to the lounge or front room. Anyway, they've never been allowed free access to the lounge anyway, my dogs, which, you know, we all keep our dogs in different ways. I'm not judging and I'm not saying one way is right or wrong. So they've got something comfortable to go on rather than try and jump on us on the sofa. And that's worked really well, having the nice new kind of fluffy, high quality beds. The dogs have settled really, really nicely. Moss, the old boy, this wasn't particularly planned, but it worked out quite well. We went to visit our bestie, Lily, on Christmas Eve, and we took the dogs all on the road with us. We were doing a few kind of visits around the country, essentially, to drop presents off and things like that. And we went to see Lil, met up with for a coffee, and she says, "I'm taking Moss." So she literally dog napped him, which isn't unheard of when I have an old dog, and that's fine. So she had him for just over a week, and he had, you know, a whale of a time being fed, getting loads of attention, being treated like he's 17 when he's not. He's still very much with it, but being mollycoddled, essentially, but lots of attention and all good. I don't worry at all when Moss is with Auntie Lily. So Lily then came and helped us with some of the moving and brought Moss back. And so he's only had a couple of nights, but actually I think because I've not been leaving the dogs at the house and things like that, they've been more, they've either been in a vehicle, which I'll come on to in a second, or at the old house when, you know, when we're moving stuff. I think all the in and out of vehicles and things like that, more than they normally are, it's probably done Moss good not being part of that with his old bones, essentially. And with the cold weather, well, that's more the last few days. But, yeah, I think it's probably helped him, because it's give the girls a few days to settle in before he's then expected to settle in as well. But he's loving it, absolutely loving it. The warmest room in the house is the kitchen, which is where they'll sleep and spend their time if we're rearranging things and stuff like that. They'll get shut in the kitchen, and it's the warmest room in the house. So for old bones, that's all good. Vehicles, I have also changed vehicles. So that's been another adjustment for the dogs, but it means that, you know, I've got something cheap to run. It's now kitted out for the dogs. They've got a nice comfy area in there, and it's safe and secure. But obviously different vehicles, different house, there's lots and lots of changes. So amongst all of this, I suppose I did decide. So months ago, I entered a competition for between Christmas and New Year. At this point, not thinking I would be moving. And the night before the competition, I did wonder whether I was doing the right thing by going and competing, because I'd not been training with the dogs for a good while because we were too busy moving and sorting house things and organising things. And of course, things weren't normal for them. Was it fair to take them? I opted to go because I thought, well, even if they seem stressed when we get there, I can still help out with the show, which is what I'd said I'd do. And we got there and they were quite happy. Obviously, I didn't have Moss with me because he was with Lily at this point. Not that he'd be competing, but he probably would have come with me for the ride and just a day out. And Ripple went in the ring, got two qualifiers. Brilliant. Her first level 4 qualifier. Really, really pleased with her. Ada got an excellent score and got placed 4th in level 2. Really, really pleased with her. Mizzle, however, both times she went in the ring, I withdrew her. The first time she went in the ring, she's in levels where she has to be off lead, and she got to one end of the ring and looked quite spooked. Ears were back. She was worried. She was kind of frozen to the spot, wouldn't listen. And I looked at her and thought, you can't listen. You know, you can't, you are worried. You cannot physically listen to me right now because you are too worried. And I wondered whether she was actually going to bolt out of the ring. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go and put a lead on you and we're going to keep you safe and we're going to withdraw you, because competing right now is not important and your safety and your feeling safe is more important. So we came out and, you know, like before we went in the ring, she was quite happy. She was working lovely. And when we came out again, she kind of bounced back and it was fine. So I don't know what was going on there. And then in the afternoon, so that was the morning. And then in the afternoon, it was the same ring or the same area, but a different level. And I thought, well, I'll take her in and try her. She seems to, you know, she's settled, and maybe it was just something that was going on this morning that I've not picked up on. I took her in and she got to that same area of that ring, wasn't shut down or wasn't overly worried, just very distracted. And I just thought, okay, today's not your day. Let's put you back on lead, darling. That's fine. And Am I surprised? No, not with everything going on, because although I'm keeping stress levels as low as possible for them and trying to make the transition as easy as possible, essentially they are still watching us empty their, what they perceive as their home. Well, you know, it has been their home for the last 2.5 years, taking big boxes in and out, packing up, things like that. Mizzle has watched this happen once before when I moved to, you know, this house or that I'm sat in now recording, which is the old house. When I moved to here, she has witnessed that, and it's changes. Now, I don't deal well with changes at the best of times, so I can definitely sympathize with her. She had a day out. She did have a good time other than when she was in the ring, and she got to greet her pupils, and she had a good time. And some people would be quite upset that their dog didn't perform, but you know what? I'm okay with that. You know, it was a lot to expect of her. I'm overjoyed that the other two girls did amazing, but did I expect anything? No. So the fact that Mizzle is there, I would rather be Mizzle's safety net and her know that it's okay, Mum will look after me, than try and force her through a situation that she's not comfortable with. The other thing, another tip for you when you're moving house is have a radio, and have a radio set up in the new house for wherever the dogs will be staying, living, just so it's a bit of background noise, and just leave it on. The reason why I say this is because outside has noises wherever you are. I mean, you know, it's a lovely quiet village where we've moved to, but even where we've moved from, it's very quiet, but there are specific noises. Like the old house, we have macaws that live next door, so those noise, you know, we hear those noises. I love it, but they're unique to this place. So in the new place, yeah, they can hear trains. Well, the older two are definitely used to trains. They used to live next to a train line. But, you know, there'll be different noises. We are more kind of surrounded, like backing onto other gardens at the new place. So there's other dogs, there's children that will bounce on trampolines. You know, these are all noises that they need to get used to and not just think, well, that's a new noise, I need to bark at it. So having a radio on in the background kind of drowns out some of that, at least initially. And then over the coming weeks, I will start to bring that volume down so they can start to hear things outside when they're inside, and it just becomes more of the norm. Which also brings me on to, I am going out in the garden whenever the dogs are going to toilet, because I want them to feel secure and happy and safe. I'm going out with them every time they are toileting. Because again, if one of them hears a noise that's different, especially, I suppose some of it is especially because I've got Daxies, they're more likely to bark and then ask questions later, and Miz more than the others. But I want them to feel happy and safe. So if I'm out there with them, I can reassure them and tell them it's okay, or come on then, let's go this way. So it's not that they're starting to feel insecure or spooked or scared by strange noises outside. And it just avoids that kind of, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this before, where you get a dog that's next door and starts barking at the fence, and then your dog starts barking back. And it's an awful, annoying and frustrating habit to then try and fix or, you know, live with. So these are all the things that I'm doing to help prevent those patterns occurring. And obviously you want to keep on the good side of the new neighbours and all of that. So yeah, that's where I'm at with the move, and hopefully you've got some tips in there. But for now, I'll let you listen to the chat between me. So I've got Lil, and she is dying, and it is just into the new year. A couple of days before this goes live, she's come over to help me move and brought my dog back because she's nabbed Moss, the old boy, for just over a week. We went to see her on Christmas Eve and she went, I'm taking a dog off you. So I lost it. I got dog napped basically and went to Auntie Lily's for a week, and he's back now. So at least he can settle in the new house. Although now she's threatening to take him back again.
I was just about to say, you seem to think he's back. He's not. He's coming home with me and you can have him back in the summer.
Mm-hmm. So she's doing me a big favour because we were meant to do a recording with a third person. And the three of us were meant to do it just before Christmas, but that will happen another time. And I did say that I didn't know whether this would go live in time. So this is something. And I think we're going to talk about Twiggle, or Ignatius, which is one of Ripple's puppies, first litter. Would you like to share the story of how you wanted one? Because you didn't want one.
I did not. I hated the breed. Absolutely despised Dachshunds. So all I'd ever had was the naughty ones in my classes. And they're just barky. And they're barky little shit. They're handbag dogs. And nobody, you know, they're untrainable, you know, and all of that. And then I met Ziggy and kind of fell in love. And then I remember the first time ever holding a Dachshund, which was Ripple, in your back garden.
Yes. You met Ripple before...
I did.
Ziggy was my previous old boy.
Yeah, because that was really funny because basically I won a copy of your book in a competition.
Mm-hmm. We didn't know each other.
We didn't. And then are we going to tell the Crufts tryout?
Yeah.
We turn out to the Crufts tryouts, which we're doing this year, aren't we, with the Good Sits display. And this ridiculous little car turns up, which was the Copen.
Yeah, Daihatsu Copen.
Yeah, and you get out, and I'm just like, well, what the hell kind of dog's going to get out of that because there's no room? And you were like, you got out this, like, little tan sausage, and I was just like, yeah, well, that's about right, isn't it, really? You know, looking at the car, looking at the person. Yeah, okay, standard. And then you were like, this is Ripple, and I was like, who? Who are you? And I remember looking at you going like...
Oh, no.
You were rude. I was rude because I was like, what the hell are you talking to me? You've got freaking Dachshund in a stupid car. What are you talking to me for? And then I was like, oh, my God, this is Ripple. And just lost the plot.
Yeah, because you'd read the book and you looked at it and you'd messaged me about it.
Yeah.
And you
fell in love with her. Yeah. And that was the thing. I didn't want a Dachshund and I still don't want a Dachshund. I want a Ripple. She's very special.
She is.
She is.
She's a good girl.
And and then I fell in love with Ziggy because he used to come and stay with us for his warm-ups.
He did. So when I went through my divorce, I was very fortunate that I ended up living in a little cottage, which was owned by one of my clients. But it did get quite cold and I was there for, 10 months? Something like that. And Zig was struggling. Zig, you know, all the dogs had to come on the road when I was traveling, if I went to see family up north. And there was one particular that first... Christmas, New Year, now South Yorkshire, you know, it got bad. And I remember being like, oh, Ziggy's on his last legs. And there was a question mark of when I left the ex of whether I should bring Zig, because I left two dogs behind. But Zig had always...
He's been with you.
I got him when I was 18. And he was 15? Just shy of his 15th birthday, I think. So was it fair? But then... Yeah. So basically that first, I was like, oh, have I made the right choice? He really slowed down. And I was staying quite a bit at Lil's anyway. And Lil was like, he needs to come here to defrost.
He does.
And he did.
And he lived his best life. He really did.
He did.
You know, Abbott stairlift up the stairs and everything else. Abbott stairlift up and down the back door, even though he could absolutely do it himself. He wasn't allowed to. But yeah, and then that kind of convinced Richard. And then I was like, well, look, we can't have another dog. Because, you know, we've already got four. And then we discussed that actually, you know, a Dachshund's within the weight limit, you know.
So explain the weight limit.
So the weight limit was a dog that's under 5 kilos, because that's technically the size of a cat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, you know, you're not going to notice it. And actually, we don't have to feed it because we've got four dogs that are shepherds and shepherd crosses. So all you do is take a bit of food out of each of their bowl. They're not going to notice. Mm-hmm. And you've fed what's potentially a cat. You know, the fact that he then grew and grew and grew and, you know.
Details, schmetails.
Yeah. But yeah, we absolutely fell in love with Ziggy. And it's weird because you'd always said, wait till they get under your skin. And my life, they are just, I found my breed now, which is really bizarre. And I'm now looking to breed and I'm waiting for a puppy off Ripple's breeder so that it's as Ripple as it can be.
Yeah.
And then hoping to link back to Moss in the future.
Yes, and I do have Moss's sperm frozen for the listeners. So that makes sense because obviously at 14 and a half, he's not going to be actively siring a litter himself.
Bless him.
Well, I don't know.
Current behaviour would suggest otherwise.
Yeah.
He thinks he's still up for it.
He does. He very much does. Yes. So, but you were previously a terrier person. As much as you've got shepherds and shepherd mixes.
Always been a terrier lady. And Ignatius is my first hound. And they are absolutely terriers, but turned down a notch. So they've got all the terrier behaviours, but none of the... No, I can't say that because that's lying. I was going to say none of the twattish behaviours. Absolutely.
They're all there.
Yeah. But they've got that same drive, but they're much more biddable, I suppose, is the way I'd put it. As in, they want to learn to work.
As long as you've got food.
You know, absolutely. Dog after my own heart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But, on the note of because you mentioned about breeding and it went out of my brain, and this is what we do. When I was at Stoneleigh last week, I saw there's a person that I've told you about before that wants a puppy off me.
Yes.
And she does dog sports with her mini smooth.
Yes.
And she wants a puppy off me, but obviously I'm not going to be breeding for any time soon. And I've told her about you before, and I actually met her in person finally at Stoneleigh. Yeah. And she was asking again, so I was just saying about you, and she was quite hopeful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She's going to be getting another breed this next year.
Yeah.
So that gives her some time before a Daxie.
Because that's the thing. I would never want a Daxie to go into, one of my Daxies to go into a pet home. In the nicest way possible, in the sense of I'd love a pet home, but they've got to be worked. Mm. They are not a handbag dog. They need to work.
They do. In one way or another.
Because otherwise they'll just come self-employed, and that's when they end up with me, and they're just always naughty, and it's like,
yeah,
well, give them something to do. It's a working breed. People forget that.
Yeah, and I think that's a really key point, because even... So basically, I have found that as much as I think Daxies are fairly... Yes, they have twettish behaviours. Yes, they can be pushy. But I think because I've had them forever,
yeah,
I know how to deal with them and I don't think about it.
Yeah.
When to someone who's had, you know, someone who isn't a dog professional, someone who's had pet dogs for a few years and had other breeds.
Biddable Labrador.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah, so the Biddable Labrador. And then you go to Daxie, it's on a whole different level. And that I'd say that's only really been highlighted to me in the last 5 years, watching other people, even with, you know, some of the puppies I've bred, that you do need to be very consistent. You've got to be on it, exactly that. And even, you know, my other half, when we got Ada, he was, you know, he loves the Daxies to be, but he's like, how is this big dog so much easier than one Daxie, never mind three? And I'm like, they are a breed apart, really.
They are, but saying that, having always been a shepherd lady, I will never have a shepherd again.
But that's not because of Daxies.
It's not, but it is because of Daxies in a way, in the sense of training a Daxie, as difficult as it is and as mind-blowing as it is that they have such a short window compared to a shepherd or a retriever, in the sense of...
socialisation window.
Yeah, kind of like by 10 months, you've got your fully made Daxie, whereas with a shepherd, you can eke out to two and a half, sometimes even longer. Mm. But actually, training a Daxie, that... God, do they want to work? Mm. And shepherds do as well. But shepherds now are so sensitive. They've always been a sensitive breed, but they've lost that. But just, I'll tell you what.
They haven't got the nerve.
They haven't. They're just nervous.
They're just full of nerves.
Yeah.
They haven't got the backbone.
They haven't. And ironically, it's having done so much research on this, it's because they've gone, oh my life, since that Crufts incident with the shepherd that won, that was roached back. And he was like, we've got to go straight back. They've just thrown personality and everything else out the window to get a straight back.
Yeah. They ain't got the backbone into different senses.
That's it. You know, it's like, but like Daxies are just, oh my gosh, they're just so special and they're just so loving. Mm. They definitely have their person as well.
Yeah. 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 But they have their person or people.
Yeah.
Yes. Very needy.
Very needy. Yes.
Like need to be inside you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I say, literally under your skin.
Yeah, yeah. If they could zip you open and climb in, they would.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Until they want to do something.
Yeah. If nothing else, just for warmth. Yeah. I do love warmth.
Mm.
But they are a cracking little hot water bottle as well.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Camping with Daxies works really well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, if I could literally get them to fit in my socks, that'd be perfect.
Trouble is, Iggy's way too big.
Bless his heart. Well, yeah, I mean, I waited, what, nearly just over two years for Twig.
And you'd named him?
I had. A bit like the puppy I'm waiting for now. She is named. She has everything she needs. She's got her harness, her collar, her lead, her blankets, her bowls, her toys, everything. She could move in tomorrow and everything's ready for her.
Mm.
And that was the same with Twig. I blind you, I nested for 2 years for Twig. Like, there are still boxes of brand new puppy toys that I'm going, like, we never had those. Well, no, because he had 10,000 others to play with.
Yep.
You know?
Well, I did the same with Rip, and I remember having this conversation. You know, I'd waited for Rip for nearly 3 years, really. Yeah. And the amount of pink shit that I had ready for a puppy.
Which, annoyingly, my new dog is in pink, which I absolutely hate, but there's no colours left.
Yeah.
I've had too many dogs and I can't reuse a colour at this point.
No, the only colour I can have is Twig's colour.
Yeah.
Which is that turquoise. And I did nest, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Ready for my next flatty. And I've still got some of those things left, but yeah, that whenever I get a male big dog, I think, or whether it's... Oh, it would work on a bitch.
It would, so it
might be my next.
Yeah.
I have said to my other half, recently, I think I've said this on the pod before, I've had a lot of people that have been like, you have got a Labrador. And I'm like, yes, I have a Labrador.
When
I'm like, I've had it for 2 years and you forget that I used to have Merlet and I've had Dobes and, you know, I've had all sorts before. But people don't remember these things. And yes, I have a Labrador. And yes, I'm working a big dog. A few people have recently asked me as well, when are you getting another dog? Because they know me.
Yeah.
And they know that I've had many more than my four currently. And I've said, oh, well, I haven't really said to the other half, but I have got my name down for a puppy next year, which is, well, this year now, which is another Dachshund. And he did actually turn around to me the other day and have the conversation about dogs. And I said, I've been honest. I've said, I have got my name down for one. I said, but if I'm really honest, and this is not me just bullshitting, I'm not sure that I want to go up to five again. So I will call it when that litter comes along.
Yeah, I think it would have to be, I mean, I'll be going up to six, but then I've got three that are very elderly and one older shepherd. Mm. But at the same time, you know, I was going to have one out of the last litter. It ended up being a singleton, so that was a no. And it's got to be the right dog. You know, I'm not going to just go, this is the right breeder and everything else, but I absolutely want this dog. It's still got to be the right dog. But yeah, and then, I mean, I suppose my only concern is the same as anything. So I've never had, well, have, but very rarely have I had two of the same breed. Because...
At the same time or in general?
In general.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've had two boxers. I've had two Weimaraners. Obviously, I've had more than two shepherds, but like, it's very rare for me because I don't like to put that onto the new dog of like, well, you're not like Twig.
I get that.
You know, but at the end of the day, I don't want another Twig. Twig is Twig and you'll never get another Twig. You'll never get another Ziggy.
You know.
But yeah, I'm very excited. I'm hoping it'll be my breeding bitch. So this one, I don't see becoming an Assisto sausage.
No.
Maybe one of its litter will in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously they said it couldn't be done. And well, there's more now since Twig. Yes. But Twig was the first. Twig was the official first Assisto sausage, bless him.
But it's also good that he is, as much as it wasn't my intention to have...
Oh, no, but I'm so glad he's oversized.
Yeah, so that first litter out of Ripple, they're all big.
They were absolute monsters, bless them. They're like, gorgeous.
They are. They're all stunning to look at, but they are all big. And when I say, so for the listeners, if you don't realise that it's changed now in the show ring, but it was very much to have a mini Dachshund and show them they had to be 5 kilos or under. 5 kilos was like the absolute max, and they used to weigh them as they go in the ring. Moss was always kind of like tipping up 5.3. And I never showed Rip, but for Ig's dad, he's now a champion. But sometimes you just get these throwbacks of bigger sizes.
Mm.
And Ig was shown as a puppy.
It was.
Absolutely fine and did really well. But it just because they're over the weight limit in inverted commas doesn't make them a standard. They're still registered as a mini long.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. Or twinnies.
Americanism.
Yes, very much so. But quite often, I'd say the only correct term for a tweenie is when you've crossed a standard with a mini and the offspring is a tweenie. But you can't register those. No. Not that it matters if you're getting a dog and it's not registered.
They're different breeds.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're classed as different breeds. But yeah, Ig is, what, 6.5, 7 kilos?
6.9.
Okay, there we go.
With not an ounce of fat on
that
boy,
though. He is fit. He's got proper hench, turkey leg, back legs, really muscly. There's not an ounce of fat on that boy. He has a lot of coat, so we could say a kilo of coat.
Absolutely. I have had so many Dachshund breeders and people come up to me and say that they are mini long Dachshund. And gone, I've never known a Dachshund that much coat.
Mm.
Never seen it.
So Moss is out of the litter that was Moss. There was four shaded creams, Moss being one of them, and one black and cream. And the black and cream, Stanley, which is obviously Ig's great uncle, was just the same. Loads of coat.
But that just reminded me of something, because I remember going to the vets with Rip when she'd gone into, well, and obviously she ended up having a C-section and one thing and another. And I was like, please God, let there be a black and tan. I don't care if it's male, female or anything else. I just want a black and tan. And you were like, it's not going to be a black and tan. You put in a shaded red to a shaded red. Not gonna be a black and tan. We were like, it could, but they were like, it's just not gonna happen. She ended up having a litter of all boys, which is just you. So, like, my litter were not coming within 50 miles of you until they're born.
Yeah.
But then, knowing my luck, I'll have all bitches. that would be about right. And then, when I remember the vet phoning you and going, I think there's one black and tan. I think. I'm not sure. There might be another one that's like black and cream, but we can't quite tell just yet. And then there were two black and tan.
There was
just like...
but also to clarify, the colours do change like quite often with some of the colours within mini longs. And so, for example, when I look at pictures of Moss, as you know, I was hand rearing him and his litter. He was really dark.
He was.
He was almost black when he was born. So to then turn into shaded cream. So when you're looking at five little, you know, milk slugs, that are like smaller than hamsters, really, when they've just been born, to be able to go, you know, and there was quite a few shaded reds in our litter. So to be going, I don't know if there's black and tan or not, isn't unheard of. No. It wasn't, you know, it's not.
No. The genetics are there. It was just like, what are the chances? Because it's, I want one. And I knew I wanted a black and tan.
And the other person who'd been on my list for ages, Sue, had said to me, oh, I'd love a black and tan.
Yeah.
And so that's who got the black and tans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fab. So yeah, you pretty much moved in.
I did. I was there for conception. I was there for the scans. Yeah. And then I basically did just move in.
Which was a great help for me because, and I'm pretty sure I haven't spoke about this on the pod before, because I'd lost Moss's mum during C-section. Rip going in for a C-section was very stressful. It was traumatic. And I was really anxious. I mean, so anxious that I came out in, I ended up with a staph infection all over my face. I think a couple of weeks after the pups were born, because just the stress of it. And the same thing happened with the next litter with my face, because of the stress of it all and being panicking about losing my beautiful girl. And that first 24, 48 hours, I just went into shutdown. And it was actually you who took over.
It was. That was just, I mean, God, I remember having the futon next to the puppy pen and just sleeping there, bless her, and just listening. Because I remember when Rip came out, she was such a good mum, but she was still out of it. She couldn't feed them properly. And we were like trying to put them on. And I mean, they were little buggers. They were like straight on.
They were.
Don't care that you're half out of it, mum. We're being fed. But she was amazing, bless her. No, it was lovely. And it's funny because people will say to me, like, oh, when did you start training Twig to be an assistance dog? And I was like, 3 weeks old. As soon as he could motor around, we were doing little bits. I remember to this day, because obviously I always thought it was me, Mr. Pink, which is who Sue's got Sizzle. And I ended up with Twig. And it's really funny because in my mind, I spent all my time with Mr. Pink, but actually all the pictures I've got are of Ignatius. So subconsciously, I must have known. But I remember like sitting on the floor in the lounge and kind of like they literally just hit 3 weeks old. And I remember having like a little tube of Primula and a bit on my finger, just doing little micro stays. You know what I mean? And just kind of like little moments of stillness and obviously puppy culture is and all of that. And it was just like, he was like trained from day dot to be what he is now. And he's amazing. And that's the thing that's really shocked me with Dax is that boy will... easily, I mean, he comes to work with me. I work on the railway and he comes to work with me, you know, and he will literally walk 8-10 miles a day and not give a damn. He just keeps going and going and going. You know, the only time, and it's really funny because he'll be in his assistant's job jacket and people will laugh at me. He's like, if there's like masses of stairs and there's not a lift and I'm going to struggle, I'll pick him up. And they're like, and I'm like, it's not fair to ask him to do all that. He's a little dog. That's massive steps and I'm going to struggle.
But also, you with your balance and going up and down stairs, while it's not ideal carrying a dog, because this is bringing me onto another story. Because you've got him, you are concentrating more on your own balance because you are so scared. Of dropping the dog. Which brings me on to Lil's doesn't like swimming pools. And one of the places where I used to live, there was use of an outdoor swimming pool. It wasn't mine. I'm not trying to say that I was minted because it was not mine. But we were allowed to use it from time to time. Lil was being brave and was like, I'm going to go in the pool. And she got there and she was like, no, can't do it. So what I did, because she was like Ziggy's caregiver, I was like, off you go, Zig, because Zig always swam. So it wasn't as if...
You just threw him in the deep end, to my mind. Just like, flung into a swimming pool. It was freezing cold. Someone had to save him.
To go in and save him, which got her
in. I mean,
in.
To be fair, he was like standing on the steps and it was mid-July. But, you know, in my head, he'd been thrown in the deep end, couldn't swim, and it was freezing cold.
And he needed rescuing.
He did. He got rescued. And then he did a lot of swimming.
Yeah.
And then we did it with Twig as well, don't we?
Yeah, we did. Which was really nice.
Yeah. Little Twig was not a fan of swimming. Oh, God, when we went to that pool. We took the dogs to a pool. Like a dog swimming pool. We put all of their little life jackets on and I am freaking out at this point because, you know, we're at this swimming pool. It's an enclosed building. There's air conditioning units everywhere. There's fans everywhere. It's my other fears. I'm just absolutely petrified. And what's my dog decide to do? Potter along to the deep end and just walk off the end. And didn't even like sniff the water. I just went, oh, that's something I can walk on. And I literally remember being on the other side going, my doggy's dying. And what I couldn't do is just shout, Munchkin, save my dog.
So I did.
And you literally, yeah, you just hooked him out. Yeah. I've got to be honest, ever since then, he does not like swimming pools or swimming.
Well, that was his choice.
It was his choice. But it was just, I remember watching him. He's got this utter confidence, strutting about. And then he just like literally just walked off the edge. Just like, what are you doing? And he just went, I don't know, splash. And you literally just hoiked him out.
Yep.
But yeah, bless him. He did not enjoy, he does not enjoy swimming. He likes paddling. He does not enjoy swimming.
No. Well, with the amount of coat he's got, it's probably a good thing.
To be fair, bless him.
What would you say are your biggest, what have you learned the most about having a dachshund?
Oh, God, so many things. Not all positive. Just, like, I've trained small dogs all my life. I've loved having small dogs. I've always been a big dog lady.
But there's been many times you've had a token small dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, Wilma Terriers and things like that, which, you know. But I don't know. I suppose it's just, I love his tenacity for life and his sass. Like, how much sass can they contain in one tiny body? You know? And it's like, I mean, you literally think back to Crufts last year with the centre bed exercise.
Would you like to share about that one?
Oh, God. So we're in the main arena, and this is just going to sound embarrassing. We're in the main arena, and we're doing centre bed race, which is an exercise where the dog has to run to their bed the quickest against competitors. And the main arena is really long, actually, isn't it? It's a long way for a little sausage. And he runs to his bed, and, I mean, the wording is settled on their bed. He was settled. He was shagging it, but he was settled. So at this point...
He was settled into shagging it.
He was settled into shagging it. He's going... full blown, you know, humpy at this bed. So I run over to pick it up in the moment that I'm absolutely mortified and the commentator picks up on it and everything else. So I go to pick the bed up and he won't let me have the bed. So he continues to shag his bed the whole distance.
Of the main arena.
Of the main arena for me to put his bed out. And then...
Which is live streamed on YouTube.
Oh, it is live streamed. Thousands. Yeah. And then the best of it is... the CEO or whatever he is from the kennel club is standing there absolutely pissing himself in tears. No, not Ian, because Ian's used to come in there last time.
Yeah.
Young gentleman. And he's absolutely dying, tears running down his face. And I just throw the bed to the side, not thinking anything about it. And then we do, a little bit later on, we do the mass recall. And of course, I forget that I've thrown the bed away. So at this point, we do the recall and Twig goes, come in, Mum, love you, Mum, bed. And goes, like, exits left, off stage left.
I don't know this bit.
Goes and drags his bed through the little alcove bit that you come into there and stands in the alcove, shagging his bed. And that's what you can see. But like, everybody else is doing the recalls and there's my boy going like, screw you, Mum, I'm off to shag my
bed. Where was I at this point? Was I just backstage?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. It was the first or the second day, it was the day you couldn't come and watch the main arena.
I didn't get to watch it because I was behind the scenes for the days, holding the bags and shit.
And then to top this off, so that was in the March. In the April, we got up to Scotland, me and Jodie, to a dog show. And I'm booking in and a group of ladies come over. And when I say a group, I mean like six ladies come over and they're like, oh my God, that's him. That's the one. And I'm like pointing at my dog and I'm like, I'm really so can I help you? Like, what have I done wrong? Like, has he done something? Have I not picked up after him? They're like, no, that's the one. That's the one that made me piss my pants. And I just went, like, not clicking what's going on. And she were like, we saw the running order. And we was like, there's no way there is another mini long-haired dachshund called Ignatius. That's the bed shagger. At which point, exit left me because they're not interested in what I've got to say or anything else. And they passed me their phones to take pictures with the bag
bed shagger.
And I'm just like, yeah, don't worry. I'm literally being passed phones going, get a picture. And then Abby, if I ever listen to this, Abby Stora, because you are naughty, posted said video of Crufts on TikTok. And it went bloody viral. And here's me hiding it, like not poster. So he's now famous. And when I've just signed up for Scotland, and they've already asked if he's coming back because they want to see him again.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, is he going to be at Crufts? And I'm like, yes, he might actually be at Crufts. Yeah. So yeah, look out for the Good Citizen display in the main arena because you will... more than likely see a taxi shagging its bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to the point of I can't have any cushions or soft furnishings in my house, can I?
No.
Because I was so sick and tired of wanting to put it through
the washing
machine.
In fact, to be fair, when Lil comes to stay, I have to remove the fluffy bed.
Yeah.
Before it gets here.
Yeah. Because he is a shagger.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's definitely a player. God love him.
Have you got anything that you'd like to say to people who are potentially thinking about being, how do I word it? Insane enough to think about getting a Daxi.
Well, I was just going to say, like, if you're certifiable enough to get a Daxi, then fair play.
Well, you need to have a sense of humour at the very least.
Sense of humour? Honest to God, it will turn your life upside down. It'll be the most amazing experience you've ever had, but you'll probably want to cry every day for the first 20 years. Yeah, I mean, having had Boxers, Dobers, Weimaraners, like, you name it, I've had it.
Mm.
Terriers. Dachshunds are just a whole different level. So trainable, though. I will say, they are so trainable. I've not come across a Daxi yet that isn't trainable. What I have noticed, out of interest, and I have a coffee fit.
I think if you are not training them to do something, they're training you to do something.
Absolutely. Well, what I will say, and this is just my own view, of the amount of specifically chocolate dapples I am working with that are so nervous and so reactive is through the roof.
Well, that's down to the breeding.
Yes, it is. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I love the look of a dapple. I can't because they're not symmetrical. We've had this whole thing. We know about this. I would be steering away from a dapple because they've been overbred and overbred and overbred in the smooth. So I am. Every second inquiry I get is a chocolate dapple Daxi that is nervous and reactive.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame. And these are dogs that I'm not seeing get over it easily.
No. And that's how they're bred and how they're reared. Yeah.
But it's just because it's the fashionable colour.
It is. And then
it's such a shame.
Unscrupulous breeders then go, right, that's what's selling, so that's what we'll breed.
Yeah.
And I think of all the breeds, some of the most susceptible to bad temperament.
Because there's just so many of them. Mm. It's like every time 101 Dalmatians comes out, Dalmatians are, you know, everywhere. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happened with the
smooth Daxis. And they're bred to do a job. And yeah. I still have to educate people.
Yeah.
And even, you know, I'm not talking about people with Dalmatians. I mean, that happens too. Yeah. But people who like Dalmatians, who you come across, you know, dog people even. And then you happen to mention, well, they're bred to trot behind a carriage for 20 miles a day. And they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what they were bred to do. And people don't realise it. And then I'm like, well, yeah, so when people get a pet one and don't really do anything with it, they end up with behaviour problems.
And then become destructive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, Daxis are amazing, especially the mini longs, but I'm obviously going to be biased.
Well, I'm biased, but I've met I'm not saying all of them, but very few mini smooths. We're in pet dog homes with good temperaments. I do like the standards of all varieties.
Yeah.
They have better temperaments. They have better health. But they're not overbred.
They're not. They're quite rare.
But they're a bloody arse to pick up.
I need to lift them up for anything.
They are like awkward and long and big and heavy.
Well, you're talking about 14-15 kilo. Mm. I'm going to pick that up. I might as well try and pick up my 45 kilo shepherd.
Yeah. It's just awkward.
It is.
But yeah. Right. Well, I'll let you die a bit more now and I'll let you go. And I'll wrap up for my listeners.
Thanks.
Thanks, Lil. Hopefully you enjoyed that chat between me and Lil and about Daxis. You know, they're a breed on their own, as we said many, many times. The other thing that I wanted to cover with you is that I am sometimes having to leave the dogs at the old house, even now when most things are moved across. So the old dog walker can help and let them out when I'm out of work. And before I meet the new dog walker. When I say dog walker, they are dog walkers, but they come and do visits for my guys. I will walk them. But if I'm out on the road long days, I need someone to come in and help them so they can uncrasp their legs and they can go to the toilet and feel comfortable and until one of us gets home. So the transition between walkers has complicated things more. So there will be mornings where I am getting up. I get up quite early when I'm on the road for work anyway, and I'll quite often leave at 6:30. Well, I'm going to be leaving the new house at probably like 5:30, 6:00 to then drive over to drop the dogs off, get them settled, and then set off for work. But hopefully that won't be happening for much longer. But yeah, these are all the things to consider when some people, I suppose, non-dog people would say that I'm stressing too much, but I would much rather the dogs be happy because if the dogs are happy, I'm happy. If the dogs are stressed, that's constantly on my mind and it affects me in a big way. So I want them to be secure. And if it means that I've got to get up even earlier sometimes, then so be it. But the new garden is lovely and we've got some great plans for the house, which, you know,
there's going to be quite a bit of work to be done on it. So that's going to be a whole adjustment for more Mizzle than the other guys. But it's a process and we will work through it, and I will support her in every way that I can to help everything be as easy as possible on the sensitive little girl that she is. But she's doing well. You know, I'm saying all these things like she's an absolute nightmare. She's doing fab, but I'm helping to support her to be fab, essentially. But yeah, I don't know who or what the next pod will be, but it should be on time. It should be the first Tuesday of the month. And have a great month. Happy New Year. And I will see you then. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Dog Gone Wrong podcast. If you could do me a quick favour, like or follow the pod, rate and leave a review, and maybe share with a dog-owning friend. Let's get the word out there and ensure there is less guilt around the mistakes. Thank you again, and we'll be back next week.